Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You sound tired.
I mean, you know, late work and, you know.
Oh, I totally got it. So, yeah, you ready to do this?
Yeah, totally.
All right, cool. Let me do one of my super cool, really lame introductions, and we'll get started. All right, everybody, you are listening to the Almost Famous Podcast with Ruben J. here. You heard my interview with Moxie until a few minutes ago. Amanda had to go, and so now it's just me and the one and only Hannah Kirby from season 8 of The Voice. She has a new single out. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Well, it's been a while since you and I had a chance to talk, and it seems like you've been busy. As can be, and you're doing something that not many people who leave The Voice do, and that's put music out. So, first of all, congratulations on your new single, and thank you for putting music out for us.
That's sort of the reason I went on the show in the first place, because I was recording, and I was like, nobody's going to hear this. So, as soon as I got back, I was like, right back in the studio.
Yeah, well, and that's the way to do it. You know, a lot of people who go on these shows don't realize that, you know, a shelf life after, you know, once you're off the show, to go out and do something, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, wait too long and people forget about them. You know, you went straight to the studio and you know, put something out right before the next season, which is smart. So let's talk about this. Let's jump right into this. The single, it's called Power, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I listened to the single, and it sounded exactly what I was expecting from you, which is awesome. It sounded like a power pop rock single. Like, tell me, what was your mindset going into the studio, recording the song, and writing the song?
Well, I'd written a song, I think about 2 or 3 years ago. They all kind of run together as far as when I wrote them. And as a lot of times happens to me when I'm writing a song, I'm just sitting, chilling, watching TV, and I get up to get a snack. And this is totally lackluster, and I'm sorry. But so I get up to get a snack, and all of a sudden, bam, the muses or whoever just hit me with a song. And actually, this one was a little harder to write because first I got the chorus, and it took me a while to write the verse, which usually I just get the whole song at one time, the melody and the lyrics. But when the chorus first came to me, all that I could really hear in my mind, aside from the words and the melody, were drums. That's the only other thing that I could hear. And usually when I write a song, I hear the way I want, not only the drums, but piano and this and the guitar and whatever. And for this song, the only thing I heard were drums. And so my main goal for this song was to hear those drums just the same way I heard them in my head on the track. And so I was really excited to have these really epic drums doing their thing. And that's probably my favorite instrument in the song, aside from the violin, which that violin is me, in case no one knows. I layered all of the violin tracks to create a little mini orchestra because I play the violin, so I love it. And so yeah, that was pretty much what went into the creation of the song.
So essentially, for you, writing music is like a divine, you know, intervention type of a thing, it seems like, you know, it's just like a vision.
It feels that way. Sometimes I finish a song and I'm like, dear Lord, thank you, because I don't know how that just happened. Not that my songs are any greater than any other songs, but I do love to write, and when I write, I always feel like I'm getting this artistry from I'm getting it from some pool of artistry that everybody's getting their stuff from. Like, all us artists are just sort of picking it up from the universe. Since that, there's nothing really new under the sun, and as they say, and so it's all coming from somewhere. And I just try to it.
Yeah, I think all the artistic people, you know, who write music, you know,
we're weird like that.
Maybe we should be drinking the same Kool-Aid or something, you know, like, there's something going on there. I don't understand it. I don't write music. You know what I do is I like to take songs and then incorporate my name into it as many ways as possible.
Yes.
That's the only amount of skills of songwriting that I have. So
that's not even
a skill. That's just me being stupid. you know, now, so here we are, you know, you're a couple months removed from The Voice. Have you had a chance to go back and talk to anybody from your season, you know, who've listened to the song and have they told any feedback? Like, what's the feedback you're getting from people who you were on The Voice with?
Well, Sarah Potenza, who was my battle partner, she sort of ended up being like a big sister. She's so awesome. And like immediately when I tweeted about it, she retweeted it and was like, "Hey, everybody, go check this out." She's so sweet like that. And I think to me that was the sweetest thing. I think there may be some others who have heard it, but no one else retweeted it. So.
Now, have you had a chance to send the song over to one Blake Shelton?
I have not done that.
I think we should all
probably do that.
What do you call your fans?
I mean, I'm kind of waiting for them to name themselves. I feel like you've really sort of hit a new point in your career when your fans decide that they want to call themselves something. It's like,
that is true.
It's like a revolution start, like a mob form that no one can escape. And they like get together and they're like, okay, let's name ourselves. And that means that they're not just fans. They're a community of fans, which is scary. And I wait for that. I wait for the army of fans that name themselves.
Oh man, I can't.
But really, I feel like when they name themselves, you've really hit a cool point in your career. So I'm waiting.
It is. Well, when I had a very very powerful tween fan base a couple years ago, they started calling themselves the Reubenites, and I'm like, I don't think that ended well for them in the Bible. I don't remember things went well for them there. But yeah, that's definitely a different point in your career. I'm just going to call them Hannah Kirby fans for now. I think we need to get all of them together and just start, like, spamming Blake Shelton with links to your song, unless you have an easier way of getting it to him. But that's my plan. That's what we should start doing. That's the revolution we're going to start, is to get Blake Shelton to retweet your song.
I have his contact, so I just need to send it to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that's much easier. a little more professional too. Now, how much of The Voice influenced, you know, your recording style and your writing style after the show? You know, 'cause I know a lot of times, you know, you come into these shows, you know, you have a style ready to go, and then you learn stuff, you know, on the show. Did your the way that you approach recording songs change, or do they stay the same, or what's up with that?
I will say that before going on the show, when I was recording, I think looking back that I was holding myself back a little bit from exactly what I wanted my music to sound like, because I felt like, well, I don't really know if the area that I live in is going to receive this well, which was just an excuse, because there's tons of different genres of music happening over here in Texas. And so I went on the show, and I feel like, I don't know, it was really important to me to perform the songs the way that I wanted to perform them so that I could show people what sort of musician I am within the confines of course, that cover song. And so then when I got back, I was like, you know, I need to really go into this full force and not hold back anything, and I need to release music that is completely who I am and not worry about how it's going to be received, honestly. And one of the happiest things to me was when I finally got this song mixed, I listened to Power, and I was like, I don't care if I'm the only person on the face of the earth that loves this song, but I just love this song so much. And for an artist to listen to their original song and love it more than one of their favorite songs by some other group, it was just incredible for me. And I think being on The Voice really helped me to decide that I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to record these songs exactly how I hear them in my head, if that makes any sense at all.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the creative process is for a songwriter, so, I mean, I'm sure it makes sense to everyone else. For me, you know, stuff I hear in my head I would never want to record. You know, it sounds like car crashes and, you know, six puppies. It's not good. I should probably edit that part out of the show.
I'm going to create a new genre of music.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to know what that's going to be called. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know anything about that genre. now, you know, one of the big things a lot of people want to know is, you know, how you're going to be releasing music over the next, you know, the next year, really, next couple of years of your career. You know, are you signed to a label? Are you looking for a label? You want to be independent? Like, what's your plans as far as labels go?
Well, right now I'm independent, and actually I'm working on, with my team, creating our own little label name and that sort of thing, because it's just cool to create it and and then in the hopes that maybe one day it will be worth something. And
yeah, that's always fun.
I mean, since I'm not signed, why not, honestly, is the question. Why not do that? So.
No, there's nothing but pluses. I mean, Adam Levine has his own record label, for crying out loud. He is signed.
That's what's up.
Hey, so, do you have an idea of a name for your record label?
It exists, but it needs to be a little bit tidy up the website before I feel like I should say what the name is.
Gotcha. All right. We'll keep it top secret for now. But definitely, congratulations on that. That's a huge venture to jump into as a record label. There's a lot of moving parts in labels. Now, if given a chance, I mean, The Voice obviously announced that Gwen Stefani is coming back to replace Christina Aguilera. Pharrell Williams is staying, obviously, on the show. Let's say you auditioned this season and you had a four chance spin. You know, would you stick with your original choice of Blake, or would you jump over to Gwen, or how would you what would you do if you had a four chance spin this upcoming season?
Well, if it was a new experience, like what I had done had already happened and this was something new on top of it, I would definitely want Gwen, because Gwen is awesome. And her fashion is legit.
So if it was a whole new experience, you wouldn't replace the experience you had with Gwen?
Now what?
You wouldn't replace the experience you had with Blake? You wouldn't replace
I would want to add the Gwen experience to my collection.
Well, you kind of did have the Gwen experience, didn't you? Wasn't Gwen an advisor this last season with you guys?
She may have been, but not for the team that I was on.
Oh, you had CeeLo. You guys had CeeLo. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got all of a sudden got really sad. But, oh yeah, it was Steela. Go ahead.
No, it was
cool.
Awesome. It was awesome.
Well, I think for especially
but
for
now,
you,
but now, I, but now I want to hang out with Gwen.
Yeah, right.
Aww.
Yeah, no.
Well,
you just don't hang out with everybody. You're gonna wait for Shakira. You're gonna hang out with Shakira and Usher and all of them. For you, I think Steela was definitely a good advisor for you because there's a lot of you and Steela that you guys have a lot of the same traits, you know. I mean, I still remember the very cool Janet Jackson, clothing that he wore when he did Shout, and then the theatrical side of it. So that was cool. I guess going into the next question is now that you're off the Voice, you're kind of going into your own thing. Which one of the coaches, any of the coaches, whether it be Usher, Shakira, Gwen, Christian, whoever, who would you want to actually do a collaboration with?
I think the answer again is going to be Gwen.
Okay, I can see that. I can see the styles kind of. I can see you. And
I feel
Gwen
like that music video
awesome.
Would be really epic.
That
like
or
a music video
trip.
For whatever it is.
You know, because a lot of Gwen's music videos for me feel like an acid trip. I don't know if you've seen here the one that she did for I think it was Light the Fire with Pharrell. I just felt like I should have been on drugs or something while watching that thing. Not that I condone doing drugs, ladies and gentlemen. I do not.
Of course not.
But,
of course not.
But if you're going to watch that video, that's probably what an acid trip feels like, I think, in my opinion. Now, what's the plan next? Like, what do you have planned for the next, let's say, 6 months? Are you releasing more music? Are you just doing shows? Like, what's up? What's up for Andy Kirby in the next 6 months?
Well, I have an album that I'm working on, and this song is the first release from that album, and it'll be on the album when the album comes out, hopefully mid-September. We're working really fast to get everything completed, and it's going to be 10 of my original songs.
Sweet.
And so I'm excited for it. People are going to get to hear a lot of Hannah. So, if the people liked Power, then they'll definitely like this album.
I think we're slowly naming your fans just people.
They could just be the people. Capital
the people.
T, capital P.
Exactly. Yeah, Hannah Kirby's The People. There we go. There you go. That's your fan base name. They're going to reject it, and they're going to hang me for my toes for even taking the name of your fan base. Well, I'm excited for you and what the future holds. Everyone who's listening to this right now, if you want to go back and watch some of the interviews that Hannah and I had while we were on The Voice, there's only maybe two or three or whatever, but they're hilarious for the most part. I got to do some weird dance moves at one point. I seriously watched it the other night, and I was crying in tears as I was watching it. I'm trying to get my YouTube views up, so I just started watching all my videos again. And so I was watching your videos and our videos that we did again, and it was just hilarious. I mean, I just seriously, go to youtube.com/RubenOnTheRadio to watch those. All you have to do is search Hannah Kirby on that channel, and you'll be able to find all of our videos that we did. Hannah, when did you come to L.A.?
I was just in L.A.
Why didn't you call me?
Well, I was there for work. I still haven't gotten to go to the beach. It upsets
what?
Me. I've
what?
Been to L.A. like 100 times, and I still have not been to the beach.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Next time you're in L.A., you know, let's make this a work project, okay? Because I want to do some videos with you, but let's make sure one of them is at the beach. That way you can go to the beach, right?
Finally.
Yeah, even though you'll still be working, you know, but you'll be able to say you went to the beach at least. Did you have In-N-Out?
Yes, But there's In-N-Out here in Texas. It's been here for like 5 years.
It's
pretty much the
same. It's not
the same.
Totally
the same.
No, it's not the same.
Exactly the same.
I
had it in California too. I'm here to tell you, it's like exactly the same.
No, here's the difference. Okay, I'm gonna tell you the difference. All right.
Okay.
There's a secret sauce. There's a secret ingredient that California In-N-Out has that Texas In-N-Out does not have, and that is Californians. And we make hamburgers better than anyone else. Well, at least In-N-Out hamburgers.
I don't know about that.
Hamburgers.
Texas, we're pretty good with the red meat, cooking them, barbecuing them, seasoning them.
That's why I stopped by saying only In-N-Out hamburgers is what California does better. Because Texans do know how to barbecue and cook and do. I mean, I've been to Texas once in my life, and I didn't want to leave because of the food. So,
I know.
Food
keeps
there,
us here.
Yeah. I mean,
why we stay.
Disneyland keeps us here. I mean, that's the only thing that keeps us here is Disneyland. And even then, it's like, why do I even torture myself with this? Anyway, the song is called Power. It's by Hannah Kirby. She's here with me on the phone. Go and purchase the song. iTunes,
Google Play for Android users, Amazon. Yep, you can get it pretty much anywhere.
If you're going to buy the song on Amazon, go to podcastsite.com/support-us and click on the Amazon banner, and a percentage of whatever Amazon decides to give to us will come back to us and help the show out. But go and buy the song. It's a great song. Hannah, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with me.
Tell people
where they can find you on the interwebs.
On Twitter, @IAmHannahKirby. Also on Instagram, @IAmHannahKirby. On my Facebook musician page, Hannah Kirby. On my website, HannahKirby.com.
Perfect. Hey, Hannah, we'll talk soon. Susan, we'll get you out here to L.A. We can get you to work and get you some gigs, get you some money.
Get you to the beach.
Top priority. Actually, what we'll do is we'll pick you up from the airport, we'll drive you to the beach, give you about 15 minutes there, and then drag you out of the water, you know, against your will probably, to record some videos and then do a show, and then we'll give you a paycheck and then buy you home. And that's going to be all in 48 hours.
That sounds pretty pretty intense.
Anyway, when you come out here, we'll handle all that stuff. We'll take care of you if we can match up schedules and stuff. Hannah Kirby, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next time. Damn.